This is the best of North State Now.
North State Now here on KTNR 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. This is your talk radio. And again, this is North State Now with Linda Bott. And you're wondering why we're hearing this piano music. We'll be hearing that throughout the program tonight as we are with a special guest, Pat and Pam Karch. And we're going to be talking about the Piano Angels. Welcome to the show tonight.
Thanks, Linda.
Yeah, good evening. Thank you for having us.
And let me do a shout-out to the sponsors. I would like to thank the Reading Civic Auditorium. As we know, last month I did have Nathan Parmalee on, and we were talking about upcoming concerts, and the Reading Civic is doing such a great job with what they're doing. And we recently just caught the Willie Nelson concert there, and the sound is incredible. The seating seats and what they're doing just to really make an all-inclusive experience. So, you know, shout out to the Reading Civic Auditorium. Also, another sponsor would be Carlene's Bar, and they are in Grill. I mean, talk about great food. Carlene did our 10-year anniversary party here, and they do wonderful catering, great food, and a darling little cocktail lounge that is just reminds you of Cheers. Great place to go have cocktails or happy hour. And then I would also like to do a shout-out to Shasta Regional Medical Center. Of course, Ornegill is here on the fourth Thursday of every month. And I hope you mark your calendars because you definitely want to hear her show, which will be here that fourth Thursday of February. And thank you to the Black Bear Diner. Of course, we are good friends with the owners. And as they expand throughout our country, they are just really good people that do great things for our community, as my guest tonight, Pam and Pat Karch. And we're here to talk about the Piano Angels, which was started by our former Reading Chamber of Commerce president, Frank Strazzarino. And when I had On the Spot with Linda Bott, I interviewed Frank a few times about this very passion in his heart about being able to have find pianos that perhaps have been in somebody's basement or in somebody's home. And what do you do with pianos after maybe kids have grown and they're around? Piano Angels began to be able to pass on those pianos to people who maybe can't go to the store and just buy a $10,000 piano, but their children want to learn to play, or they want to learn to play. So, Pat, welcome to the show and tell us a little bit about Piano Angels and in 2020.
And thank you, Linda. It's a great program. We kind of inherited it after the passing of Frank Strazzarino. And we have a board. We're a nonprofit, and Pam and I serve on the board. The goal is to place pianos in homes, not just homes, but we've been to churches and studios and
theaters and retirement homes that need a piano in their great rooms for everyone to use.
That's fabulous.
Yeah.
And then everybody can enjoy the music. And, of course, you know, I grew up with a piano in my bedroom.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I did. And it's you would think that I would be much more accomplished or I could play the piano, but I like to bring over people to play the piano while I sing. But, it, you know, and pianos are interesting because if you can follow the history of a piano, like where it began, was it made, how did you get it, you know, sometimes a piano will have three or four homes that they're in. I know the piano that I have in my home now is the piano that I grew up with in my bedroom, and it was donated to, this is the story that so we've been told. We had relatives of the Snook family, that's my maiden name, called the Beheimers. And the Beheimers were very affluent people in Los Angeles, and they were supporters of the L.A. Opera House, L.A. Opera. And so this piano was in a rehearsal room in the L.A. Opera House.
Oh, my gosh.
So somehow it ended up on one of my dad's relatives' porches. Cigarette stains and everything else you can imagine, because the theater kids would come around and she'd play off of that. Then it ended up, when she moved, it ended up somehow I just remember because I was born in 58 that that was always around in our house. It's had three different coats of different colors on it. Unfortunately, when my parents moved it in a place where they had an inside, why can't I think of the name of this right now? They had a house where the plants grew inside.
Oh, yeah, where there was moisture in the air.
Yeah, and so the inside of the piano had to be redone.
Oh, brother.
And it's never sounded the same.
Right, yeah.
Because they didn't really look after the piano technician to see, are the same innards there?
Right. This is what kills pianos, is mostly moisture.
Okay.
When you have a piano, it's good to keep it on an inside wall, not on an outside wall where there's temperature change. That's what knocks them out of tune. More than moving them, changes in temperature are what knock them out of tune. But it's very unfortunate. People will often put a piano in the garage, and there'll be a lot of moisture in there, and that's almost a death sentence.
Yeah,
on a piano.
Yeah. So I have a fondness to hold on to this piano, but it doesn't, and it has the same ivory keys. But it doesn't have the tone that I grew up with, and it's obviously my favorite was my favorite sounding piano.
But it has sentimental value.
It's sentimental value, yeah. And so it's an upright. And so we're looking here at a diagram that you brought in about your different kinds of pianos and what you're looking for, perhaps if anybody's thinking about, oh, I have a piano that has been on my garage, oh, my God, or a piano that's in a – I don't know. You know, if somebody who's like, I have a piano, I want to get rid of it. I'd like to sell it, but if I can find the right person to donate it to, maybe they've not heard about Piano Angels.
Well, that's our hope. And if you're listening and you live in Reading, having the piano in your garage may not be as bad as other places because Reading is generally pretty dry. In fact, Pam and I picked up a piano the other day that was on a trailer out in a carport. It was completely covered with dirt. You remember
that? Oh, man.
Totally dusty.
And that piano was, like, brand new when we cleaned it.
Really?
It was brand new.
Now, is this something that you guys do together? Like, you go pick it up. Hey, babe, let's go pick up a piano.
That's basically it.
Then you pick it up.
Date night.
Then Pam gets, because Pam is such a good little cleaner. So does she gets her, what do you clean it with? Wax? What are you cleaning it with?
Well, what happens is usually I want to take it straight to the family, and Pam will say, we need to do something with that.
That's nice.
But Pam and I do this, just the two of us. Can you believe that? We pick up, we go into the home, and I lift up half of the piano, and I tip the piano up on its end by myself, and then Pam puts the dolly under it, and we put it back down. And it, although that sounds like heroic and I'm really strong and stuff, if you know the leverage, it's really not that big a deal.
Well, here's what I love about that you have carried on this passion. Pat, you are such a wonderful, piano player. Anybody who knows that your name, people will think, oh, Pat, he's been playing around this North State for years. And the fact that you grew up in Lewiston and you've been playing. Of course, I know you through Lou White. I've known you through, we played several concerts together. And Pam is just a wonderful singer. And you guys met through church and singing, correct? Is that, through choral music. It's what really is a common thread.
Yeah, it really is. And we enjoy it. In fact, Pam and I have a show coming up on Valentine's evening.
Yes, let's talk about that.
Up at the Lakeshore Resort on Shasta Lake.
Okay, now where is the Lakeshore Resort? You would take what exit? We got to take a break, so let's hold that.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about Pam and Pat Karch's show coming up and more about Piano Angels. You can actually go to readingpianoangels.com and see the wonderful video. Kids, it's so important to have music in your life. It really is something, I think, that helps your brain, helps your soul. It helps the family come together. And we'll talk more about Piano Angels and Pam and Pat Karch when we come back here. This is Linda Bott, and thank you, Jared, at the helm tonight. Always a great producer here on the North State Now portion, and we'll be right back. Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee. Snacks and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to RedingCivic.com to learn more.
Enjoy delicious Black Bear Diner food in the comfort of your own cave. Try one of our 9 new family meals to go, like the breakfast combo family meal loaded with eggs, thick-cut bacon, sausage links, and 4 huge house-baked biscuits. Or the chicken fried steak family meal for 4 with country gravy, cornbread muffins, and 2 large family sides. Starting at $19.99, our family meals to go feed 3 to 4, so try all 9. Order carry out or delivery at
Black Bear Diner.
Dr. Farrell in Palisadro is now making dental work more affordable by offering a Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership. The Dental Discount Savings Plan is simple, straightforward, and includes 20% off all treatment, such as emergency limited exams, restorative work, fillings, crowns, partials, bridges, dentures, and periodontal treatment, a comprehensive exam, oral cancer screening, a TMJ exam, a periodic exam, and 2 sets of x-rays, along with cleaning and 2 fluoride treatments. The program is a discount plan, not a dental insurance plan, and is only available at the office of Dr. Farrell. The Dental Discount Savings Plan annual membership provides immediate eligibility. No yearly maximum, no deductibles, no claims to submit, no limitations for pre-existing treatment, and no waiting periods. Children on the plan must be 15 years or younger. Some restrictions apply. Membership prices may vary. Contact Dr. Farrell, located at 9461 Deschutes Road, Suite 2 in Palisadro. Call 547-57 to make an appointment today. That's 547-5757.
Hi, this is Mark from Haven Humane Society. It has been a challenging couple of years, and through it all, our amazing team has continued to save lives. We have so many fantastic animals that are looking for their forever homes, and with adoption fees so low, now is the time to add to your family. With puppies, kittens, dogs, cats, and so many more, we have the perfect addition. Come join our team as a volunteer and help in an area that works for you. Walking dogs, socializing cats, helping our veterinary hospital, or folding laundry. We have many opportunities and welcome all volunteers. For more information, please visit our website at havenhumane.org or follow us on Facebook. On behalf of the entire Haven team, thank you for all of your continued support as together we get closer every day to North State with no more homeless
heads. Hi, I'm Sue Blake with Powerhouse Solar. Solar energy not only makes financial sense, but right now you can go solar for zero money down. At Powerhouse Solar, we install the most cost-effective and highest efficiency panels from SunPower. And with the electric company's rolling blackouts, Powerhouse Solar can make sure your family is not left in the dark. We have generators and battery backup systems designed for your specific needs. Call Powerhouse Solar today at 275-5600 or visit us on the web at powerhousesolar.com.
This is the best of North State Now.
I could just sit here and listen to, like, you know.
Sounds like Bruce and Bruce Kalin and John Gonzalez.
Oh, okay, yeah, absolutely. Some great, great music. Okay, are we ready now? I just want a cocktail, and I just need to chill out. Thank you so much. You know, really, doesn't it make you just, can you just feel the windows in the city? Or maybe you're on the coast. Anyway, thank you and welcome back to This is North State Now with Linda Bott. And my guests tonight are Pat Karch and Pam Karch. We're talking about Reading Piano Angels, as well as the two of them are fine musicians. You know, Pat's been playing everywhere. They've got a show they're coming up that's coming up at on Valentine's Day. Let's hear about
that.
Well,
we'll be at the Lakeshore Resort in Lakehead, up on the lake. For those that don't know about the Lakeshore Resort, that fancy new bridge that they built across
the lake. Oh, beautiful bridge.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of after you go across the bridge, you take a right, and then you go into the freeway and follow the frontage road back down. And they have a great resort there with cabins and a pool and have a bar and a restaurant. So we'll be in the restaurant and in the bar bringing entertainment that evening. The chef has prepared a 5-course dinner.
Mm.
Oh, yeah, should be good. Tri-tip and lobster.
Oh, I love it.
Just do the lobster if you want. And there's some options also for other dishes that evening. And then at 7 o'clock, Pam and I will start the show. It'll be great fun.
And the thing that you were saying is that this, a lot of times with jazz or just kind of free style shows, is you'll call a number.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys have been performing together for a long time, but this is a set show.
Yes, right. There won't be any,
with jokes and lead-ins and the whole, you know, like, you know, you've got a planned set.
Yeah, we do, and that's what makes it fun. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to figure out how do we feel right now, you know, and sometimes, Linda, you and I do that, you know, hey, I don't want to do that song. What do you want to do?
Yeah, because it's an organic thing sometimes, you know. But when you're doing something like this, I think it's great. I think it's a great exercise because it makes you have to be disciplined in the plan.
Right.
Rather than just like, let's kick my shoes off or let's kick our shoes off. Now, can we share with our audience, our listening audience tonight, and thank you again for joining us, and we love our sponsors. Once again, the Reading Civic Auditorium, and Carlene, you heard at the commercial, I was texting her like, girl, your place is so good. We're talking about you tonight. And by the way, you need to cut a new commercial. Love you. Okay, and Black Bear Diner, and of course, the ever wonderful Shasta Regional Medical Group and Center. And we get back into... we talked about the show. We're going to go more into Piano Angels. I don't know how much time you have, but I would also like to share with our listeners that, you know, Pat, you've done a lot of interesting jobs. But right now you're doing something really important, and that's working with Reading School.
Oh, Reading School of the Arts.
Of the Arts.
Oh, my gosh,
and
yeah.
You do all of the – in charge of anything that has to do with sound and audio and visual, and God only knows that it's – a musically inclined studio, so there's a very advanced technical stuff going on over there.
Yeah, it's great. You know, we have a 530-seat theater out at Reading School of the Arts. A lot of people don't know that, and many people believe that the school is a private school. Did you know that it is a public charter school?
Mm-hmm.
Any kid could go to the Reading School of the Arts, and if they're there for the tenure of their time, kindergarten through eighth grade, they'll be exposed to every type of music and every type of visual and performing art. And so if they have inclinations to excel in that, that's a great launch pad for kids like that.
I would have, that would have been the fit for me because I was the kid that, you know, I was an average student. I could hardly hold my attention. I was a dreamer. I couldn't wait. You know, I was lucky because I went to summer school every year. My parents made us go, both my brother and I. So we had to go to summer school. It was a rule. I went from kindergarten up to eighth to senior. Well, I wasn't a senior because I graduated out of high school a year early, midterm as a junior, because I had the credits. Back in the 70s, you had to have credits. And in summer school, I would take one elective, and then, you know, the courses, so I'd go into the year with other stuff. But my point being that some of my best mentors were in Ron Klinkenberg, my band teacher, mm-hmm. and Hawk, Mr. Hawk. I can remember their names, but I can't remember yesterday. You know how that goes. And he was a drama teacher, and my musical teachers were really inspired me. It's where I excelled. I didn't excel in math or English, or I could do public speaking. But so I think about these kids and how wonderful, because they're little portals in your mind that maybe if you're theatrically inclined or visually inclined or musically or sonically inclined, mm-hmm. that you're going to – that those little portals are going to open up and you're going to learn things with this advanced way of teaching and learning.
Yeah, and if it's not offered, then a child may miss their opportunity mm-hmm. to excel in something like that. I mean, we do, the core subjects. Every parent wants their kid to succeed. But the directors that started the school believe this – that through the visual and performing arts, students become better students and better citizens because it teaches self-governance. And you know this, and Pam does too. When you play in a band, like if I'm playing with Lou White and I play a wrong note, I hear that wrong note, I correct it. Okay, and they get that experience, and they then transfer that idea of being responsible for themselves and self-governance to other aspects of their life, whatever that is. And this is what we believe, and it proves to be true. Many of the kids that go through the program that excel in music and visual and performing arts also do well in their studies because they know that they have to practice hard to do a show, and they know that they have to do homework to succeed in their studies. This is how
now,
it works.
Well, whose idea was it, and where did it come from when you have these concerts?
You mean the shows that we have?
That you have a Reading School of the Arts that is all drums.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The school uses a method called the ORFF method. That's O-R-F-F. It's started by a German guy. And kids learn to play on malleted instruments like xylophones and marimbas and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And that's Italian. He uses his hands a lot.
Yeah. That was an example of a drumming technique that I learned.
Mr. Orff.
And so from kindergarten, they start right in on these instruments. And by the time they reach eighth grade, it's not uncommon to have them playing vibraphone with four mallets like some great jazz artist. You know, and this is how it goes. It's amazing.
So they're having hand and eye coordination.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, the sonic aspect and being able to read notes and times
play
so that
tune.
You know that that is like two beats, four beats, a rest.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in a band,
what did you play?
I played saxophone.
Oh, fun.
Played alto and tenor. Mr. Klinkenberg, Ron Klinkenberg, it used to be a rhythm test. And that's how you would get your, you would do it every year or every week. And that's how you got your first, second, or third chair.
Uh-huh.
And it was never as good. I should have never been first chair, but it was an honor to maybe sit there for the week and then play first chair. And so he did this rhythm. And through that, I mean, I was at a time in my life in seventh grade when girls can go bad. Because I could have been a girl gone wild. I have that in me. You know what I mean? So Ron was really very good at, you know, Mr. Klinkenberg was very good about pointing or being able to give someone like myself and other kids as well, like, oh, you can take the flute home. Mm-hmm. And learn the flute. Learn the saxophone. You can do this.
This is common, in all the schools around our area do the same thing. Last week, Sherry Eby, the band and strings instructor, offered kids to go.
That's all right.
Go through several instruments and try them out and see what suited them. You know, and sometimes it seems random. They just like, you know, I like the alto saxophone, and then they just start on it and they'll stick with it.
Yeah, when you think about an oboe. Or you think about large string instruments, and I think about Bruce Kalin taking that bass around and flipping it around and taking it every, or drums.
Oh, yeah. That's a lot
And
of
think
work.
About when you become a musician, the hauling. And, Pam, you know, you've been very good with Pat on since I've moved in here to Reading and know you. You've always been good about helping him set up, and it's been like a thing that you guys do together.
Yes.
We're going to have to take a break. Can you guys hang around and talk a little bit more about Piano
sure.
Angels?
Absolutely. We do need to get to that.
Yeah, well, that's all right. I love talking about all the other things because it also is a view in the window of into your life about what moves you.
Right. And we want to tell people how they can participate in that. So.
Right. All right. So we're here on KCNR 96.5 FM. Yay, the tower's up. And 1460 AM, this is your talk radio, North State Now with Linda Bott. We'll be right back with Pam and Pat Karch talking about the Reading Piano Angels.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 at 1460 AM.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pool was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment. Despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems, having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with her car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
I'm Carlene Niver, and I have some exciting news about my restaurant, Deja Vu, voted best breakfast. We are now serving beer and wine to complement your experience with us. Try one of our many flavors of mimosas, or try one of our new delicious creations, like Morning Sunshine, our version of a screwdriver. For our coffee lovers, we are known for our cozy atmosphere with a mixture of traditional and specialty drinks. I invite you to start your day with us, whether you are craving breakfast or lunch. Located in the historic Lorenz Hotel in the heart of downtown Reading, on California Street, open 7 days a week from 7 a.m. till 2 p.m. We look forward to seeing you soon.
You know, it can be difficult to find a trustworthy, knowledgeable, and yet affordable auto repair shop. Advanced Automotive is the second generation, locally owned, full-service repair shop serving our community since 1993, and one of only four AAA-approved auto repair shops in the Reading area. Advanced Automotive has a goal, and it's to keep it simple to have safe, reliable vehicles for our customers and our community. Call or come by to meet the crew who is here to serve you. 244-4423. Advanced Automotive.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Because of the probability of our power being shut off during wind events or fires, many people are installing standby generators. Shasta Gas is now selling standby generators with propane tanks so that you will have home power during these outages. Give us a call at 365-3793 to get a quote on a generator and tank installation. That number again is 365-3793.
We are going to interrupt this broadcast of The Best of North State Now to play a special broadcast of the Dr. Orna Gill Show, which will preempt the first half hour of the next show. So, stay tuned.
Hello, Reading. This is Dr. Orna Gill on the Dr. Orna Gill Show here on KCNR 96.5 FM, your talk radio. Today, we are talking on the Dr. Orna Gill Show about the roles of women in the pandemic. We want to talk about the increased roles of women as the matriarch during these times and how women's lives in COVID-19 pandemic have changed. And will they stay changed, or will we evolve and progress from this? How is this experience uniquely affecting us, and how can we help each other to continue doing well or doing better in this time of great stress minimal personal time? So I want to introduce today myself, obviously Dr. Orna Gill, and we're going to have a bunch of guests because this is going to be a generational discussion. You know, women step up in times of crisis and we assume a role of responsibility. But what we're doing now is we're experiencing a disruption in social order. We can't visit one another. We can't socialize. We're segregated, isolated. And how do we manage our lives? We have to figure out how to persevere. The concept today is we're going to talk to multiple generations of women and see how this impacts how we're impacted by the virus experience specifically. My guests today are Mackenzie Chestnut, a 17-year-old young woman from Reading who will be giving the experience of youth. We have Kristen Mitchelson, who is a stay-at-home mom but former pediatric ICU transplant nurse. That's a mouthful. Who will be telling us about the experience of coming in new to Reading and raising children in a lockdown situation. We will also be speaking with Jen Gill, who is on lockdown and self-sheltering in place in San Francisco with two very, very small children. Then we'll be speaking with Joyce, who is in her 80s, and will be expressing the experience from that point of view. We also have Beanie Bawa will be joining us at 10:40 a.m. Will be joining us a little later in the show to talk about her experience of sheltering in place with an elderly parent in the house, as well as two children. So there's a multiple exposures from her to her family from a frontline healthcare worker. So let's get started with the discussion. Please introduce yourself, Mackenzie, and tell us a little bit about yourself, and tell us how your experience, your life has changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic.
Okay, my name is Mackenzie Chestnut. I'm a 17-year-old. I'm a junior at Foothill. I would say the main thing that's changed for me is I've just lost all structure because I can't go to school. I can't see the people that I saw every single day. So for the first few weeks, it was really, really hard for me because I was just on my phone in bed just for hours because I didn't know, I didn't have a routine because school was the only thing keeping me going. Like, even after school, I had my homework that I had to get done for the next day. Like, I had a structure. And I just have none of that, so I've really had to learn to, like, make a routine for myself because...
Have you done that?
Yeah.
What's your routine?
I force myself to wake up at least 9 every day. I know. I can't even imagine waking up earlier than that now, which is, that's going to be so rough going back to school. It's going to be really bad. And then I start my homework right away, and I get all my homework done before I can give myself free time. And I've cut back on my phone time a lot more because I just realized how much that was, it was just really bad for me. It was just making me so unproductive. So I've gotten a lot better with that. And I've been doing a lot more of, like, painting and just more creative stuff that I didn't have a lot of time to do during school, which is actually really nice. So, yeah.
How do you maintain connectivity with your friends, and how do you manage the stress or, you know, the challenges of being apart from everyone?
Me and my friend group are really close. I've had a very tight-knit group of friends since last year, so it's very hard not to see them every day. Like, I spend every day, even after school, with them, so that was really hard. We text every single day. We have a big group chat. We do Zoom calls. We've done car dates, I guess, where we go to our school's parking lot and we sit in the back of our trunks and we just talk for like 3 hours. So it's kind of sad, but yeah.
It sounds like you're accommodating very well.
Yeah.
Actually, that's very interesting. We have, I wanted to, get into also the discussion with you, Kristen. Please introduce yourself and tell us how your life has changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic. And we'll also welcome Jen Gill, who's on the line, who has a very similar experience. I want you guys to go into it. But first, let's start with you.
Okay.
And we'll get started we'll have a couple of people exchanging on what's going on because it's a really big deal with all the kids at home and that kind of stuff.
Yes, I'm Kristen Mitchelson, and I'm the proud mother of three children, a 4-year-old girl, a 7-year-old boy, and a 9-year-old girl. And we are actually brand new to Reading. We had moved and had just been settling in for about 2 to 3 weeks before COVID hit and the shelter-in-place order took place. And prior to that, our life was pretty chaotic. My husband took a job here in Reading in October, and so I was managing the whole household in the Sacramento area and trying to sell a home and get transitioned here. And so by the time I got here, I was kind of coming off of all that, and then all of a sudden shelter in place hit, and basically life put the brakes on, and we kind of just all stopped in time for a bit. Took a little time to process before I was able to kind of reformulate a plan to keep my kids on track.
That is, we're going to get into the details of how you do that. I wanted to introduce our caller. Her name is Jen Gill, and full disclosure, my sister-in-law, and a brilliant educator from what I understand. Welcome, Jen Gill.
Hi, thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you for coming on. Introduce yourself and tell us how your life has changed, practically speaking, during the pandemic, and how you see yourself differently. How has your role changed in the family unit? We're looking forward to it.
So my name is Jennifer Gill. I have two young children. My daughter just turned 1 year old, and I have a son who is three. And kind of ironically, right before the coronavirus and the shelter-in-place restrictions came along, I quit my job. I'd been working full-time this whole time, and I decided I wanted to take a short break before moving on to my next role. And so I quit, I think, like 2 weeks before the shelter-in-place restrictions came along. And my goal was to, you know, catch up on sleep and, you know, take a break and then look for my, you know, next job. But, you know, obviously that has completely changed now. I didn't know when I quit my job I was going to become a full-time, you know, homeschooling teacher.
Yeah.
And so have been spending a lot of time, you know, researching, you know, classes and things to do with my son. I think the hard thing with the really young children is you don't want to give them too much screen time. But the only way for them to really learn is through a lot of these digital platforms. And so, you know, his preschool has been offering some Zoom classes, so we've been doing that. And then on the side, I've also been researching and signing him up from other classes as well, and doing just things on teaching, you know, using books and toys and games and things like that.
Yeah, so your children are much smaller, and that definitely takes a lot of energy and makes a lot of demands. Kristen, you have children who are a little bit older than that, probably kind of stacked up a little from 4 to 9. Tell us how you developed an educational approach, or how you coping with it, how you're dealing with sheltering at home.
Well, initially it was kind of up to me for the first couple of weeks while the school was trying to figure out their plan and what platforms they were going to use to educate the children and help us parents with materials. So similarly, I was, you know, finding more digital platforms, signing up for various classes. A lot of celebrity authors and things like that were offering free classes on YouTube, whether it was, you know, reading or art. But at that point, about a week into it, my children's school gave all the parents a bunch of materials, and then we've integrated into the Zoom distance learning, which has gone really, really well. And the teachers are putting a lot of time and effort into helping us parents keep the kids engaged. And not just on track to where they were, but moving forward as well educationally, so they'll be prepared for their following school year.
That's excellent. I want to take a quick break, and we'll come back and talk more to the three of you about how we tolerate stress and how things are changing for us in our lives and in our roles. We'll be back. Stay with us. Welcome back, Reading. This is Dr. Orna Gill on the Dr. Orna Gill Show. We're talking about the impact of COVID-19 on women and our roles. We are stepping up to our the demands being made upon us. It's challenging for youth, it's challenging for women with children, and it's challenging for our mature listeners. So wanted to once again remind everyone that we're talking to Jen Gill, we're talking to Mackenzie Chesnut, and Kristen Mitchelson about their respective roles and experiences in the COVID-19 pandemic. And I wanted to talk a little bit about some positive and negative experiences unique to this lifestyle that you may have. You want to start there, Mackenzie?
Sure. I'd say the most negative thing for me is my lack of motivation, mm-hmm. probably. Again, because I talked about how I lost my routine, so I had to make up a new one. But also just, like, blending my home life and my school life, like, doing my homework or, like, doing all of my school in my room, it's just so hard. Mm-hmm. And I know, like, for me and a lot of my friends, we have always been very motivated students, and I even find myself, like, getting very distracted or pushing off my work, which is really unlike me, which kind of makes me nervous about how I'm going to feel going into next year. Mm-hmm. I feel pretty prepared, but yeah. I hope it goes well with, I don't know, the amount that I've been learning. We'll see. But
yeah, that's a big question that we have, and that's one of the fears and the stressors that we face, is that lack of structure and motivation. How do you, Jen Gill and Kristen, how do you guys tell us about a negative or positive experience unique to this lifestyle?
Well, for me, I suppose if we're listing positives, the lack of the morning hustle, the ability to just sit there and savor the sweet moments and sweet conversations with my children on the couch rather than trying to slam together lunches and get them breakfast and out the door by 7. It's always been a chaotic part of the day that I've not looked forward to. Mm-hmm. So just having the memories and those moments together that we wouldn't have had otherwise is a very positive aspect to this.
I love that. What about you, Jen?
Yeah, I would say definitely it's all the extra time we have with the children. I think one really nice thing is both my husband and I, since we're working from home, we were able to witness and see our daughter take her very first steps.
Wow.
And I remember with our son, we were out of the house, like, working, and so we weren't able to witness his very first steps he took all by himself. And so I remember being extremely sad about that. So yeah. Definitely one positive is just being able to spend all this quality time with the children and then being able to capture all these really special moments with them.
Do you guys think that some of these positive experience should inform the way we reintegrate into opening society? Do you think any of these experiences should inform us in how we manage coming back? Maybe we want to hold on to some of these things. What do you think?
Well, I definitely think just the act of slowing down in general. I think our culture as Americans is, get as much done as possible, running the rat race, not really taking into account the lives of the people around us, whether it's a complete stranger or someone that we may not have spoken to in a while, and life has just kind of gotten the better of us. So just slowing down and appreciating the simple moments in life, for sure.
What about you, Jen?
I think what's really nice about this is that it's actually shown that many jobs can be remote. I know before when I was working, a lot of my coworkers, some of them really wanted to work remote, and they said, no, you couldn't. You have to come in the office every day. But now with this, obviously everyone's working from home, and I think it really shows that, like, you know, you can actually offer a lot of flexibility in terms of how people work. And even Twitter just recently announced that, you know, many of their employees, if they want to, they can just work from home forever if they wanted to and just stay as a remote employee.
That's very interesting. And how do you, in terms of productivity and self-motivation, and something that Mackenzie's struggling with, how do you speak to that when people are having to work from home? How do you manage that?
Yeah, I mean, I think right now it's very tough to be productive being a parent and working at the same time, because you know, schools are closed, and so parents are, you know, have the burden of educating their children. Mm-hmm. But, you know, if we were able to slowly reopen society and children were allowed to go back to school, and, you know, people weren't worried and had nannies coming over, then I think parents would be able to, you know, be as productive as the non-parents and work just as well.
Hmm. That's interesting. I wanted to touch base a little bit about Zoom and the new online kind of socializing and learning and working that we do. There's an article on Vox and also drew out from the New York Times that women on Zoom spend the first few minutes apologizing for how we look, first thing. So, you know, my makeup, my under eye bags, my hair, my wrinkles, my outfit, my eyebrows, you know. What is the aesthetic offenses that we commit during COVID? Do you guys see yourselves doing that at all? Is that something that you no? Mackenzie's like shaking her head no.
I feel like I really haven't. This is so weird to say, but I really like my generation right now. I feel like we just are embracing it, and like we are so like we can relate so much to each other. Like, all of the Zoom classes I've done, especially for Spanish, which is, like, at 9:30 in the morning, we all have to drag ourselves out of bed. We're all just in bed, like, in our pajamas. Like, we don't care. We're all going through it together.
You don't have the apologies on Zoom. What about you, Kristen, and Jen?
If we're being real here, like, today's the first day I put on makeup in a while.
Yeah, same.
But, you know, I've actually kind of embraced the ability to not put on makeup and not have to feel the pressure to do that, and I think it's been really great for my skin lately. But I don't know. I suppose I've apologized a couple times, but it hasn't happened to me so much, but I have witnessed it in a few of my daughter's teachers, not from school, but other activities we're doing through Zoom, and, you know, apologizing for their long hair and things like that. And I think it's kind of nice to see where everyone's naturally going.
I agree. What about you, Jen? Do you have that experience, or have you seen women do that? Do you yourself do that?
No, not really. I mean, when I was working, I would work from home maybe once every 2 weeks or so. Uh-huh. And I didn't really put any effort in terms of getting on call with you know, on Zoom calls. I think one nice benefit about working in tech is that, you know, people kind of just dress however they want. Most people just wear, like, company T-shirts and jeans or sweatpants, and, you know, people don't really bat an eye at that.
You can wear sweatpants to work? I shouldn't
say. Oh, yeah. I mean, you can wear anything you want to wear. People don't really a lot of these tech companies, like, a lot of people don't really care what you wear.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah, unless you're meeting clients, then you're expected to dress up.
I see. I mean, a lot of people, I don't know if I want to keep pursuing this topic, but I do think that women feel the need to be attractive, to be liked. And so there's a lot of pressure to keep up self-appearances, but, you know, it's, you want to avoid looking tired, ill, or creepy, but in fact, what's happening is that, you know, women look a lot different than men on camera, because men just don't have a haircut, right? Women don't have everything, all the trappings of femininity that we were kind of engaging in very heavily. Does that at all free up any time or energy for you guys? I see that no one here is having. Okay, that's okay. It's just something that I wanted to bring up because it's important to be careful about over apologizing, you know. And that's great that in your generation we don't see that. Okay. So one more question I wanted to get into was we are going to be talking more about mental health, stress, anxiety, and loneliness. And we will also give you some good tips on where to go for that when we come back from our break. This is the Dr. Ornan Gill Show talking about women's experience in COVID. So. Welcome back, Reading. This is Dr. Orna Gill on the Dr. Orna Gill Show. We're here talking about the impact of women's roles in society and the impact of society's new policies on women in the COVID-19 pandemic. So we're here in the studio today with multiple generations and seeing how we are coping with it. We wanted to talk a little bit about the impact on the more mature audiences, and we're going to have a caller calling in a couple of minutes by the name of Joyce, who will talk to us about the experience of isolation during the mitigation policies that we're seeing. So I wanted to ask our guests in the studios today, how do you take care of yourself? How do you cope with stress? How do you cope with loneliness? How do you cope with anxiety or the pressure of having to self-motivate? Are there any special things that you do to keep yourself sane? Mackenzie, you want to start?
I've dealt with stress even during school, but now it's just a different kind because I'm kind of just having to teach myself everything, and that can be very stressful. But I find myself talking to my parents a lot more. I was definitely the type of person to just keep everything in because I would just kind of distract myself from my thoughts. I don't like being in my own head. That's, like, my least favorite thing. Mm-hmm. So now that I'm, like, trying to cut back on, like, my technology and stuff, I'm, like, forced to be in my thoughts. And I'm like, I should probably talk to someone about this. So, yeah, I feel like I've been expressing myself a lot more with my parents. And they give great advice. So
that's really? You listen to your parents' advice?
Yes.
That's huge.
Goals.
Go ahead. What about you guys, Jen? Kristen, please, go ahead.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is just getting breaks. And so we're really lucky that we have a nanny here. And so she's been helping out, taking care of the children. And so taking breaks, sleeping, other things have been helpful with the isolation front is me and a group of my really close girlfriends from college. We try like once a week to do like a Zoom call together and we all catch up. And so it's been nice, starting to, socialize again, even though it's just on Zoom.
Huh. And what about you? How are you doing?
For me, the act of having to be at home isn't an overly stressful experience for me. I'm lucky in the fact that we just bought a property where we have 4 acres. And so the kids have plenty of room to stretch, and we've bought baby chicks and baby goats, and so we have a lot going on for us in our lives outside of getting the schoolwork done and dance classes done and things like that. The thing that will ultimately always stress me out in the end is the fear of the unknown and needing a plan of action. As a former ICU nurse, it was always, for me, prepare for the worst but always hope for the best.
Yes,
and
exactly.
I'm kind of carry that over into, my everyday life. I always want a plan. And I think it probably drives my husband a little crazy. But if I am feeling overly stressed, without an outlet, I will speak to my husband, and he's always a good ear, as well as my extended family as well.
We have some resources for you guys, too. Just to mention the NAMI.org, which is NAMI.org. National Alliance on Mental Illness. Today is, May is Mental Health Month. So there's a lot of information online. There's also the ADAA, or the Anxiety Depression Association of America. We know that depression and anxiety are more common in women. There's also hormonal factors at play with PMS, perimenopause, postpartum depression. So we know that hormones do play a part of this. And it sounds like all of you have talked about talking as a way to relieve anxiety or stress. Are there any other activities that you like to do, like stretching, yoga, reading? I don't know. What do you guys usually do? Cooking? Is there anything new you're learning?
I enjoy cooking and baking, probably a little too much, but that's something the kids and I have been doing together in the kitchen, is I've been teaching them how to bake now that I have the time to do that, and that's been helpful. Mm-hmm. Exercise is always a good outlet. Mm-hmm. I have a spin bike at home, a Peloton, and mm-hmm. when I'm really feeling the need, I can get on that and let some energy go.
That's so awesome. What about you, Jen? How do you, what other ways do you, when you take a break, what do you do?
Sleeping is a very big one. and then we,